sin on. We've got to keep pressing on.
Keep pressing on.
We're going to keep pressing on.
Pressing on.
Oh, I want you to sing it like you believe it with all your heart. Yes, he does.
Turn me aside. There's no need for you to go. No need to try. Even if there was a rapture, he'll never make it in. I just say, Satan.
One more time.
When Satan tries to stop you,
yes, he does,
and turn you aside, says there's no need for you to go.
Why
do you even try? Even if there was a rapture, boy, you'll never make it in. Why don't you just say, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again. Just watch me pressing on. Keep pressing on.
Church, you've got to keep pressing on.
I got to keep pressing on.
We're going to keep pressing on.
I'm pressing on. The higher call
of our Lord.
I've got to keep pressing on.
Hallelujah. Yes, we will keep pressing on. The word quit, we don't even know how to spell. It's not in our vocabulary to say I quit. We're pressing on, aren't we? By the grace of God, we'll see what's on the other side. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give Jesus a good hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Oh, what a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord once again, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Aren't you glad you love the Lord tonight? Aren't you glad he got a hold of your life? Aren't you glad he turned you around? How many of you been turned upside down, inside out, and all around? I'm glad about it tonight, aren't you? I'm glad I don't desire the old things that I used to. That's gone. We're Christians. We're born again sons and daughters of the King. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him.
Sing that verse for me one more time.
Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside. Say no need for you to go. No need to try. Even if there was a rapture, you'll never make it in. But I just say, Satan. I gotta keep pressing on and on and on.
Yes, we're pressing.
Little bride, keep pressing on.
We're gonna keep pressing on.
I'm pressing on to the higher calling
of
my Lord.
I want you to say it
once more. Satan tries to stop me. No need for me to go on, no need to try. Even if there was a rapture, he'd never make it in.
But we'll
I just say, Satan,
we're gonna
I'm through. sin on.
Well, we're gonna keep pressing on. We're gonna keep pressing on.
The higher calling of my Lord. Little bride, keep pressing on.
Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Well, you ought to be really charged up tonight. No service here on Wednesday night. Did it make you sad? Did it break your heart? But we're here tonight. The Lord has let us be able to be here in service tonight. And, well, we're just looking for something great from our Lord. He has never disappointed the first time. He always gives us something that we can use in our life, whether it be natural, spiritually, physically. God always gives you what you have need of. He's not going to let you walk through them doors hungry unless you choose to do so. Now, look at somebody and say, let's participate. Let's create an atmosphere that will be pleasing to the Lord. When Brother Donnie comes out here, it'll be like a house on fire on a real windy day. You can't put it out. I'd as soon stay here all night as not. How about you? If God's in it, it don't really matter. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests. Brother Daniel Nunley, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord tonight on behalf of these prayer requests. Brother Dan Dyer sends this in, says, I would like to request prayer for my next door neighbor, Wesley Snyder. He called asking for prayer for a rare form of cancer that is affecting his eyes, joints, and liver. He is driving to Duke one day a week for chemo. He is 50 years of age, and he is a believer in Jesus Christ and his healing power. He's also recovering from radical surgery on his ankle and is unable to work, so we want to just commit that need unto the Lord, ask God to help our brother. Pray for Ron and Naomi Daly, both not feeling well, unable to be in the service tonight. So let's pray that the Lord would touch those folks. Brother Jack Roberts called just a while ago. He's having some dental problems. I think he's suffering from an abscess tooth, very, very much in pain. So I want to pray for Brother Jackie tonight. Also, Bob Blevins, my brother. He will be going in to the hospital on Monday morning for hip replacement. He's asking that you would remember him in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Brother Phil Horniak wants us to pray for Lionel Marquez. I hope I got that name right, who just lost his mother. So let's pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit on their lives during this time. Sister Linda Phillips says, I want to thank everyone for the cards and food during the passing of my sister. So we just pray that the Lord would comfort all those folks during this time. We'll remember Sister Daisy Rice, who is in the hospital. So let's pray for her tonight, that the Lord would just be with her, give her a speedy recovery. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand tonight? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. You just don't realize, and neither do I, what a privilege it is for us to be in the house of God. It's indeed a tremendous privilege. Praise the Lord. Brother Daniel, God bless you. You lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Appreciate Brother Daniel, don't we? God bless you, brother. Love you, man. Appreciate
you. Amen. This past Monday morning, we got up and my wife wasn't feeling good. And she was having chest pains going up and down her arms. And her face got real red. I mean, we went to the doctor's office and they sent us to the hospital, and the blood pressure was 260 or 286 over 128. And they put her in the hospital and kept her overnight. Monday and Tuesday night, they finally got the blood pressure down, let her go home. But we call around and have people praying. You know, one of these days, there's coming a day when these old bodies going to be put away, and we're going to have a new body. Amen. We won't have to worry about suffering and pain and sicknesses, and won't be turning in prayer requests for someone that's lost or someone that's in need, because we'll be in our new home then. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, We just want to thank you tonight for this opportunity to be in this service. What a privilege it is to serve you, Lord Jesus. God, knowing that it's our duty to offer praise unto you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church, this congregation, for these people. Thank you, God, because we know that you're a saving and a healing God. Lord, you said whatever we ask, in faith believing, you'll do it, Heavenly Father. May our faith go together as one tonight as we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, you hear every one of them tonight, knowing, Lord, that I could not call all the names, but you know each one of them, God. I pray that you move to heal them. I pray that you move to save them and deliver them, supply their needs. And God, in this service tonight, we just ask that your presence come among the people. Oh God, we pray that you anoint Brother Donnie. Oh God, take complete charge of this service. Whoever is the one speaking, I pray that you be with them, Heavenly Father. God, we commit this service unto your hands. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight from around the world, pray it's a great blessing to them. Amen. Let me make this announcement from the Hickory Bible Tabernacle. There will be a marriage banquet. All that information is on the board out in the lobby. Brother Barry Coffey is... His assembly is hosting this, and the guest speaker will be Brother Bill Ivey. So if you can remember that announcement, further information that you would need is out in the lobby on the bulletin board. So remember that. Now, there's three forms in the library that still need to be addressed: the bus trip to the youth camp, the youth banquet, sign-up sheets, and the blood drive. Those sheets are still available. And I believe that blood drive, Brother Jimmy, is this coming week? This coming Thursday. So if you haven't signed up, please do that. Remember those three forms over in the library. I'm so amazed that he loves me. And I'm so tickled to death that he loves me. Because he loved me when I was a very unlovable person. He still loved me. And I thank him for that. Are you glad that he loves you tonight? Are you amazed? Are you pleased? Brother Burke, God bless you. You're the only one that's amazed tonight. The rest of them, I think you just feel like he owes you that. No, I'm just teasing you. How many of you truly are amazed that he loves you? He loves you beyond what you can even comprehend tonight. I want you to sing with all your heart. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so amazed how you care.
Your precious blood I found pardon.
Oh, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins, they're washed away. Sing it again.
I tried so hard to hide, though I laughed and said my life was fine without you. I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. died and purchased my salvation. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free.
That you love me.
That you love me, Lord.
I'm so amazed
how you care.
Just how much you care.
Your precious blood, I found pardon.
Yes, sir. Oh, and
my sins,
they're washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away.
There have been days when I have failed you. Lord, you know how many times I've gone astray. But I've learned that your love is stronger than weakness. And your ears are open every time I pray. Ever cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends can never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need.
I'm so amazed that you love me.
That you love me, Lord.
We're so amazed
how much you care. Precious blood, I found pardon.
And my sins,
they're washed.
They're all washed away.
That you love me, Lord.
We're so amazed how much you really care.
Precious blood, I found pardon.
And my sins,
they're washed.
They're all washed away. All my sins, they're washed away.
Stand by you. How many of you know that your life depends on whether he stands by you or not? Amen. We're depending fully upon him, Brother Terry. But I'm persuaded that I'm serving a God that's never lost a battle. I'm serving a God that's never got worried. I'm serving a God that's never been nervous. He's never bit his fingernails. He's not been perplexed about what he's going to do next. He's never questioned one decision he's made. Aren't you glad to be serving to God like that tonight? You can rest 100% in knowing that whatever you commit to him, he's able to take care of it. Somebody say praise the Lord. When the storms of life are raging,
stand by me.
Oh, when the storms of life are raging,
stand by me. When this world is tossing me like a ship upon a sea,
Well, you're just singing so good tonight, I hate to let you stop, but just sit down. Just go ahead and take your seat. Brother Harry's going to sing us a little song before Brother Donnie comes to minister tonight. He was expecting it for the last 2 seconds.
Well, I don't know what to sing. Or there, can you look up the anchor holds? You can help me sing this. A. Troubles times we're in, I'm glad I've got an anchor.
I have journeyed through the long dark night. Out on the open sea, by faith alone. And yet his eyes watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. As I face the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions. I've even held them in my hand. I never knew those dreams could slip right through, just like they were only grain of sand. Oh, but the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. As I face the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, I'm older now. That's where God proved His love to me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sail. But the anchor holds in spite of the storm. The anchor holds.
The Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for that tonight. Isn't it good to be in church?
Amen.
So appreciate the opportunity to gather together again in the house of God.
Amen.
Your presence is wonderful, but His presence. Amen. So appreciate it. Let's turn, if you would, to the book of Jude, chapter 1. There's one chapter there, but verse 3, the book of Jude. I'd like to express to you tonight several thank yous and appreciations. I know I don't do it a lot, but we just helped several brothers in Uganda a few weeks ago, Brother Jim. Maybe it's been something like that. We sent several $1,000s to our black brothers over in Uganda, and I've gotten so many emails back from them. And that's nothing new. They always do that, but helping in different stages of church buildings and so on. But one thing that we did quite a bit this time was purchase bicycles for the brothers. Now, I realize most of you never been to Africa. Brother Terry has, maybe a few more has been to Africa. But an automobile, it's almost unheard of. I was in Kenya a few years ago in Nairobi, Brother Kamwadi's church, and several thousand people there, and which I say you helped build, might have been 20 automobiles. They rode bicycles, hitchhiked, came by bus, public transport, whatever they could do. So to have an automobile, it's just almost impossible. But to be able to have a bicycle, now, most of us would think, a bicycle? You're kidding me. You would have thought that we would have given those brothers a pot of gold. Each email that I read from them and pictures that I got with the, each brother and of the bicycles. And
amen.
I just thought, Lord, us spoiled Americans, we have got so much stuff. And to think about somebody getting you a bicycle where you can visit the people, and we send them to ministers, of course, and it just really touched my heart.
Right.
I don't know how many different ones of them asked me to thank the church, and I thought, well, I'll thank them. I don't know what for, but I'll thank you. And let me tell you this. Only eternity will tell what has happened from this church right here around the world. I don't tell it. I don't brag about it, because to me it's contrary to Scripture. But Brother Jim knows. And most people probably would favor their race. Most white preachers would probably give to white people. But with me, it's been the opposite. I do help some white folks that are in need. There's some that we've helped here in the States. But the majority of ours has been for our black brothers in Africa, in India, in different parts of the world.
Amen.
Because there's just something about it when you go there and you visit them. If God makes that contact between you and them, you never get over it.
Right.
It just absolutely does something for you. And so thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I may not tell you nothing like that again in 5 years, so I'll just go ahead and thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love God's children, don't you?
Yes.
I love them. Makes no difference to me the color, the size, what nation they're born in, what nationality, how black their sins are behind them. If they're washed in the blood of Jesus, they're our brothers and sisters. That's right. Let's look tonight, if you would, at Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The book of Jude was supposedly written at around 66 A.D. So this has been about 30 years now since Jesus has left the earth. Already, there's been a great slipping away from the faith. So Jude, which is the foster brother of Jesus, half-brother, however you want to say it, felt to write to them, to exhort unto you. He said, exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. to the saints. So in 30 years, some of them had already gotten away from it. Now it gives the reason why that they need to contend. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Can you imagine turning grace into lasciviousness? And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So a person can be saved by God, refuse to believe, and later be destroyed. Is this the Bible? Destroyed them that believed not. And not because God didn't like them, not because that he preferred this one above that one, but because of their unbelief. Now watch, he's going to compare this in different categories. In verse 6, he moves into the realm of angels. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we read these things tonight, it alarms our hearts because we know it's not what we did 10 years ago for you, 20 years ago for you. It's where we are tonight. Lord, we don't want to be faithful for a while. We want to be faithful to the end. Lord, I pray you would take your word and speak to us tonight, Father. May we be benefited by our gathering together here. May these examples which have been written aforetime for us, may they become so real that we will see them personified in this our day. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to title this tonight, Giving Up an Estate. Giving Up an Estate. E-S-T-A-T-E. The word estate, of course, is an English word, an old English word. We don't really use it that much today, unless it would be at the death of a father, a mother, or someone when it comes to their will. And then we think about their estate. But in our thinking, we would think more in the terms of houses, lands, property, automobiles, a horse farm, a ranch out west somewhere, diamonds or something like that, that a person had left in their estate. But the estate that we want to look at tonight is not that kind of estate. According to what Jude said in verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So what kind of estate would it have been? It wouldn't have been acreage. It wouldn't have been farms and barns and horses and sheep and cattle. So what would the estate of an angel consisted of? And what would have made them leave such an estate that they would actually give it up? What was it that so persuaded them? And what did they believe they would get in return? What kind of persuasive power or voice would have such an ability that it would be able to speak to angelic beings? Now, there was no smoking there. There was no drinking, no adultery. None of the sin that you and I deal with every day of our lives. There was none of that even there. So it wasn't like that
Satan offered them a beautiful woman and they would leave their estate for a beautiful woman. Or they would leave their estate for another time to get drunk. There was no whiskey there. There was no crack. There was no marijuana. There was nothing like that there. What was there? It was righteousness, purity, holiness, sanctification, the excelsi glory of God. You mean there was no honky-tonks, no bars, no murdering, no hatred, no weapons to mass destruction? None of that was actually there. What was offered to these beings that would be so persuasive that they would give up their estate? Now, it's amazing when you look at the book of Jude and you know that Jude and both Jude and Peter parallel this concept. And the way that they did it was they run it from angels, they run it down through Sodom, and then they run it, of course, back into the land of Israel. So they want to take from three perspectives or from three different point of views to show that a person can have something with God and from God. But it'll be up to them whether or not they maintain that from God. And we know that as the people of God, God has truly been wonderful to us all, has He not? He's blessed us and given us so many things. But just because we have the blessing of God today does not mean we are eternally secure. It takes more for security than just the blessing of God. Well, I felt God. Oh, that's wonderful. We've got to make sure we have the Holy Ghost in our souls. Now, these angels apparently, in the way that they were made, were placed on what we looked at last week as a probationary type of period in a similar sense that Adam was. Adam was placed on probation in the Garden of Eden. Now, he was not placed there as an eternal attribute as far as to remain there forever and ever and ever. Had he been, he would have never been forced out of there. But he was placed there in a probationary time frame by which he would make his choice. And God tells him, subdue this, do that, and do that. And of course, that's where he failed to keep the word. So God placed him there on a temporary basis. Might have been thousands of years, tens of thousands of years. We really don't know. But it was a probationary time. Now, God had already done the angels in heaven on this same time. And once they are kicked out of heaven, then they come to the earth. And now they want to move upon the earth, upon the creatures that are on the earth in their probationary period, to pull them also away from the promise of God. Now, they are now inspired, of course, once they come to this spot, they've realized they've submitted themselves, their gifts, their abilities, whatever more, over to the King of the North, and he will now take them and use them for his own purpose and objective. Now, what these angels actually did, they proved that they were not worthy to walk with the elect angels in the heavenly realms. Now, these other angels were made and put on probation. But yet the Bible tells us that there are elect angels. But there are also angels, of course, that are not elect. Now, they are placed in on this probation period to where they can choose. And when they chose to leave the kingdom of Michael and to follow Lucifer, they proved they were not worthy to be able to walk with the elect angels of God. Amen. May I say, people all down through time have done exactly the same thing. And they are doing it today. Now, many people are in the book of life are actually placed on a probationary period to where that they're this category of whosoever will let them come. They can be saved if they wish. They can go to heaven if they wish. If they don't want to go to hell, they don't have to. God's not going to stand there and make them go to hell. If they want to be saved, they can be saved. It is their choice. But if they embrace truth, light, and then they are illuminated, even with a partial illumination of that light, and then they turn away from that light, and they cross that dividing line, wherever that is, and they make up their mind they will never be back again, they have proved, as the angels did, that they are not worthy to walk with the elect of God. Now, that's your choice. You want to make that choice, that's entirely up to you. The same with me. But for me and my house, we're going to serve God. God won't make you serve him. He won't make you live right if you don't want to. Of course, it's up to you. Now, let's look, if you would, in verse 4. And let's watch the parallel now of how that the human beings on the earth that come under the influence of these fallen angels, that they will begin to mimic in character and in reputation and so on the same type of spirit and influence that these angels had once they fell before the foundation of the world. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Of course, we know sheep don't creep. It's creepers that creep. Roaches, snakes, rats, and so on. So certain men crept in unawares. They didn't fly in because they ain't eagles. But they crept in who were before of old ordained. Now look at this Greek word. It means to slip in secretly. To steal in undercover. Now, sometimes Satan's agents will steal in to an assembly. They may sit there for months, weeks, years before they will actually make their move. But with these type of men, there were some of them that crept in and there were some that were invited in. There were some that came in openly. But apparently this group had crept in unawares. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now I know we are criticized in our church because we believe these teachings of the Bible, but I do believe them with all of my heart. It is not me who wrote this. It is in the Word of God. Oh, Brother Donnie, I don't understand it. I didn't say nothing about me understanding it. I said I believed it. There's a great difference. Now, Jude says that they were ordained to this condemnation. They were ungodly men. Now, they are artful, wicked men. They know how to manipulate. They know how to say things. They know certain things to be able to do. Now, watch them. You remember now, whenever you're dealing with a person who's under a demonic inspiration, there'll always be telltale signs that if you'll watch them and you're spiritual, that you'll look beyond the human element and know that is not a human being that's leading them to do that. Because the words are too catchy, the inspiration that they're getting, it's beyond them. It's something from a demonic inspiration. And you realize, we're not fighting a natural battle. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting this and that and the other. That's not what our battle is. It is a spiritual battle. I don't know about you. I need the help of the Holy Ghost like I've never needed it before. I need him to help me to know how to fight this battle and how to rage this war. Because there's times I need to cry aloud and spare not. There may be other times he'll tell me to hold my peace. There may be times he'll tell me to be meek. There may be other times he'll tell me to be as bold as brass. There may be times I'll have to stand right up and face whoever. There may be other times I sneak down the wall in a basket. But whichever way I'm supposed to do it, the appropriate time, I want to be at the right page at the right time. If it's basket time, I don't want to be standing at the front gate with my sword drawn. Praise the Lord. And if it's sword drawn time, I don't want to be sneaking out the back wall, letting down the wall in the basket. How many knows what I'm saying? It takes the Spirit of God to help us truly to be able to know in the hour that we're living. Now notice Jude goes on to say, for certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. I look at this word. Wanting this filthy, unbridled lust. Excess. Licentiousness. Lasciviousness. Wanting this outrageousness, shamelessness, insolence. The word lascivious simply means wanting this, an absence of moral restraint. Now, what are these men then? What were they doing in that day? What did they continue to do on down through time? They have wanted to turn the grace of God into unbridled lust, uncontrolled, untamed lust. So then they will try to convince people they are under the grace of God and they can do whatever they want to do because they have liberty in Christ Jesus. But they will lead them into this by the lust of the flesh, not the revelation of the word. Now notice what he says. They will actually turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now Peter, 6 years before this, which the book of Peter was written in 60 AD, Peter, 6 years prior to this, had written something that was very, very similar. Now notice, Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity. Now watch, when they speak great swelling words of vanity. Great, an adjective, swelling, an adjective, words of vanity. My, they're great old big puffed up words, but they ain't got no value to them. They don't mean nothing. Now notice how that many of these will come. And it was already there working, we know. It was the spirit of Antichrist. So he said they speak great swelling words of vanity. And how they do it? By the lusts of the flesh. And with these words, pulling on the lusts of the flesh, they will lay a bait for the simple and those who do not have soul revelation. Now they will take their words, and with those words will become so polished and so great, my, and it will seem as if though that's exactly the right way, because they will appeal to the lust of the flesh. This is why Jude says that they're going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now notice in Peter says it this way, that when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure. Now watch, over and over again, the heretical teachers are represented as seducing their followers not by miracles, not by great signs. If you'll notice this, and also in the book of Jude, lying signs is not mentioned. Anointed ones is not mentioned. Miracle workers is not mentioned. This group and category of people do not have signs, either false or true. They are known by their words. It will be their artful use of words by which they will articulate, and they will tickle the ear, and they will put things together by words. Is this what your Bible says? Oh my, for they speak great swelling words of vanity. Now watch what they'll do through these words. They allure. They allure. Look at this word. Entice, beguile. To bait, catch by bait, entice, deceive. What was it the woman said in the Garden of Eden? The serpent beguiled me? What with? First words, then actions. So these heretical teachers, these apostates, they have already started now in the first century. 30 years after Jesus has left the earth, 30 years after the Holy Ghost has come, they have already started coming in that early church, and they are using great swelling words. And those words seem so powerful, and they're so seductive to the simple of those that are not born again. And then what does it play on? It is an allurement or a bait. So they're setting the trap, and as with any trap, whatever you're trying to catch, whether it's a fowl or whether it's an animal, whatever it is, you never want to show the animal the trap. You want to show the animal the bait. Right? If you're out fishing, what do? Do you out say, hey fish, I want to eat you. I'm throwing my bare hook out in the water. Come on, fish, come on. People are that dumb, but fish ain't. So what do? You hide the bait, or the hook rather, and you disguise. You put a shiner, I don't know that much about fishing, but you put this and that in the other, and so the fish will think it is all right to eat this. You know you're going to eat him. So Paul Peter here now, he says, and it's just same basic as Jude says as well, that they will allure. They will allure. So they're going to cast their bait. And here sets a lukewarm message believer. Over there sets another one. And over there sets another one. And they see the light hit that spinner down in the water. Oh, what was that? I'm getting tired of going to church. I'm getting tired of believing the message. I'm getting tired of this, that, and other. Here they go. You better watch out. Oh, wow. I ain't got nothing to fear. I ain't got nothing to worry about. I don't see nothing. Of course not. You're a sheep. That's why you need a shepherd. It's one of the shepherd's responsibility is watch for baited hooks. Those of you that will listen, I can help you. Those of you that won't, I'll witness against you. It's just that simple. It's just the way it is. Now watch, he says they allure through the lust of the flesh. They allure. Now notice how they do it. They allure through the lust of the flesh. So now these men with their great swelling words and oh my, the great things the apostates will say. Oh, Jude says they're saying these things and Peter said they're saying it. And here it was 30 years after the Holy Ghost. And there was some among them though that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And they was throwing that day down and Paul was preaching hard and Peter was preaching hard. And here's some council guy saying, well, they're demanding too much of you. You're in Christ. You're free. You don't have to do this and do that. You're free. You're free. And here they go. And they swallow it hook, line, and scissors. I mean sinker. How did they do it? Through the lust of the flesh. So the flesh is what they're hearing through. The flesh is what's obeying. And Satan knows bait the flesh. Oh, children, thank God if you got the Holy Ghost tonight. I know we've said it over and over again, and I've preached it ever since I've been in the message of me. The greatest lack that we have among us. I know I've been laughed at for years. I'll keep on saying it because I believe it's true. I believe the greatest lack there is among us is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've got doctrine. We've got songs. We've got music. We've got all sorts of things. But it's an evident proof that many folks have never truly been born again. It's an evident proof many folks have never really come to get the Holy Ghost in their soul to stand there and display that token of Jesus Christ. No, also they speak these great swelling words. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those, now listen, what, how pitiful. Notice who the apostates are after. Amen. Through those that were clean, escaped from them who live in error. Right. Now watch, here they come fishing. They bring their bait among who? Do they want whores, liars, drug addicts? Apostasy has nothing to set free drug addicts. They want to pull away from the real true ministry that can set free drug addicts and drunks and whatever more. Why? Because they ain't got no supernatural to deliver. Theirs is an administration of words. You understand, children? It's an administration of words. So they aim at who? Those that were clean escaped. They actually escaped from those who were in error. Now watch verse 19, how Peter says, while they promise them liberty. Now look at this word, what it means. Liberty to do or to omit things having no relationship to salvation. The liberty to do as one pleases. But I love the last phrase of the meaning of this word. True liberty is living as we ought to, not as we please. So now watch what they're doing. They're pulling on the flesh to the flesh, and they're saying, you're free in Christ. These old preachers telling you, you've got to do this, and you can't do that. They're holding you bound. They're binding you. You'll never get your full potential in Christ. That sounds like the serpent talking to you. Oh, we got freedom of the women over here. We got freedom of the young people. We got freedom of this. And what kind of freedom is it? But it pulls on the lust of the flesh. Now watch, these people now are a perfect parallel of the angels who left their first estate. Dear God, help us. Children, I don't think you realize. I don't think you realize what a serious time we're in. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. So here are these people, men, women, boys, girls, whoever it is, that are so vocal. Oh, you're this and that and that. You need to come over here and you need to quit this and do this. They themselves are the servants of corruption. And they're promising you liberty. You might ought to look at the lives of the folks you follow. See where it's leading them. And then ask yourself, is that what you want for your life? Hallelujah. Oh my, for of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. The gospel promises us freedom, does it not? It promises us liberty in Christ Jesus, but not to do anything and everything that the flesh wants to do. Because your flesh is like mine, it ain't born again. My flesh wants to do things, I've got to say, hey, straighten up and quit that. You're not doing that. But they look at this and the polished high words are, this is too strict, you don't need that. And those that don't have the Holy Ghost sitting in the throne of their soul, the flesh hears it and says, I've always believed that. I knew it all along. I knew it all along. I knew this was a cult. Now I'm wondering what's in that bottle he drinks. You want to try it? Brother Donnie, is that Kool-Aid? It's Gatorade. Or, yeah, fruit punch, I guess. Oh, Brother Donnie, don't pass it around. Don't worry, I need it. I'm sweating bad. I always knew there's something wrong. No, you didn't. You were clean. You were free. You rejoiced in this word. Your estate, your allotment at one time was setting here and these things preached. That was your estate. Now what's then the true gospel preached through divine grace? It is actually a purifying gospel. Absolutely. If the grace of God strikes your heart and it don't make you clean up, I question what you got. So it is a purifying gospel. I realize in the age we're living in, of course it isn't, because most of the preachers preaching have not been purified themselves. So we got rehab for Christians. We got Christians that are drinking. We got Christians doing the same thing that the world is doing, except the only difference is they profess they're Christians. So we got Christian dope addicts, Christian drunks. And they're Christians. Why? Because they claim that title. Come on now. And yet the world says, well, God understands. Don't you understand what you're doing? You're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. You're actually promoting and believing that God will let you live that kind of a life and maintain your estate as a Christian. Now watch Peter. He says in verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, this is not Hindus. This is not Shintoism. This is not Islam. This is Christianity. So they actually escaped. They didn't just peer out of the prison and stay in the prison. They actually got out of the prison of corruption and darkness. They actually escaped. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, now notice how they escaped it. Through the knowledge, not through a new birth, but through the knowledge. Look at what just knowing the word will do. Just knowing enough about the word can release people from bondage. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They did not have a new birth. Peter says this through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled. So they're loosed. And then they go back. They are entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. This word end is state. So their latter state or estate is worse than their first estate. Now let's look at this threefold manner of these people. God have mercy that I never tread down this path. Our first estate when we are immortal, we're born in sin, shaping iniquity, come to world speaking lies. Attached to our mother by a navel cord, we're a renegade. Born lost. Need a savior, all of us. Whether you're rich, poor, black, white, makes no difference. We're all born lost. It don't matter if you're a Rockefeller or a Smith or a Reagan or a nobody. You're born lost. Exactly right. So this is our estate. Our soul is dark. Our spirit is dark. Our flesh is dark. By sin, I mean. Our senses to perceive right and wrong. Oh my. Become muddled so quick. And all of a sudden, even without being taught, as little children, we started telling lies. Did your mama teach you that? Your daddy teach you that? Was it grandma that gave you a lying class? Or grandpa? It was born in you to lie. No, I didn't do that. Jack done it. I didn't do it. Jim done it. You start laying the blame on others. What is it? That little Adamic nature coming out in you already. You started lying. You started doing this, that, and other. Then you started having a hankering to do more. And you started smoking a little bit, drinking. What am I describing to you? Your estate. It was an estate that you and your friends call fun and happiness. But it was an estate of bondage. Then all of a sudden, through a book, a tape, a tract, a church sign, maybe going down by the First Christian Church or the First Baptist or whatever more, maybe you picked up a Bible on vacation down at Epcot, you'd open the drawer and you pulled out a Gideon Bible, and you fell open on John 3:16, and you read that scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And something moved on your heart right there. And you begin to tear out of them bars. You begin to walk out of them bars. Now notice what's happened to you. You've moved into a new estate. Now you change your fellowship. You're no longer fellowshipping with the drunks down at the bar because that don't feel at home no more. You're no longer shooting stuff up in your arms to get high, but you love reading your Bible and you love going to church. My, you may be in that estate for years. But that unclean spirit that went out of you noticed there was never a seal that come back on you. So your arche, your principal beginning, was an estate of lost. Your second estate was an estate of saved. But for many, they will have a third estate. I want my second estate to be my final one. Now what's the third estate that Peter gives here? For if after they have escaped, estate one, they escape, born in sin rather, and then they escape from that which is estate two, the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled, estate three. And overcome the latter end. Now they don't go back and become the same caliber of sinner that they were before. Impossible. They will actually go into the third estate of their soul. In that estate, they will be worse than when they was born a sinner. As a matter of fact, they would have been better off had they never heard the truth. Listen, children, I think we ought to witness. I think we ought to let our light so shine before men. I agree with all of that. But I think sometimes we're too careless in handling this word. I think sometimes we need to pray and be more careful because your words to the wrong person might make them worse in their end than if you'd have left them alone. This message is not for everybody. Come on, salvation. We know he died so all could be saved. But we'll all be saved? Absolutely not. Only those who will accept it. Oh, I know that didn't go over good, but it's the truth. Now watch, Peter says in the last end, the latter end is worse. So here is their last estate, an estate of apostasy. So in the beginning, these angels that were created and brought into existence, and maybe they were there in the presence of God in heaven for thousands or millions of years before they fell. So this was their first estate. They are now in their second estate. They are held in chains of darkness. They are held in chains, actually the way the scripture says it, under darkness. So the darkness is brooding over them, but this is not their final estate. Their final estate will be when they stand before God and the saints, and they will be judged and committed to the lake of fire and annihilated. Now watch. Peter says, if they are entangled therein again, or again therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So generally when you find apostasy, you will find the latter end of the apostates is much worse than before they ever got saved. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Do you? No. I don't want to know what this feels like to be an apostate from God. I want to be saved and stay saved, be a part of His great word. Now watch the Lord Jesus as He deals with this in Matthew chapter 12 verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he says, I will return into my house. Now watch. He's still claiming this house as His. Jesus did not say this spirit was cast out. He went out. When the unclean spirit is gone out, this spirit was not cast out. He left willingly. Now, if he left willingly and was not made to do so by a servant of God who had the authority to cast him out, then he could still make claim on that house. Now look at this man, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man. All right, a man is born into the world. He has unclean spirits, all kind of evils. First estate. Jesus picks up his second estate in verse 43. When an unclean spirit is gone out, that's his second estate. He walketh through dry places. Now notice, he's showing the estate of the man and showing the estate of the demon that was in the man. So this man is now feeling so much better. Goes to church, pays tithes, whatever more than he does. Oh my, he's doing so good seemingly. But one day that spirit says, you know what? I'm going back to my house. And this time, I'm taking buddies. Then he says, I will return into my house. From whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty. Empty. So here's a Christian. They do this and do this. That's not what Satan looks at. It's not the length of your hair, sisters, or the length of your dress. It's whether it's empty or full or not. It's what pulsates from your soul in that realm of light or the realm of darkness. So he's coming back just to check it out. Now maybe this person has sat on a message pew. Maybe they sit right here in Happy Valley for 30 years, whatever more. And he comes back and he decides, I'm going back and I'm going to check him out. And when he comes, my, the house is totally empty. No seal of God. No true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or they may have a knowledge of the Bible, a knowledge of the message. The prophet done this and the prophet done that. Paul said this and Paul done that. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for a king on the throne of the heart. And once he looking inside that throne room, what's he find? The throne room is empty.
That's right. Think about it.
Lord Jesus, have mercy on us, Father. I will return into my house from whence I came out. When he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. So this is a person that has been so meticulous about certain things of their walk. They've swept their house. My, they went through sanctification and they laid this aside and that aside. But they never went on after they got the house cleaned to get the king to move in. What good does it do to sweep the floors and wash down the walls if you don't go all the way and let the king move in? What good does it do to say, this is the king's house. I'm a king's son. I'm a king's daughter. I'm this, I'm that, and the other. If you don't let the king move in. You've got an empty, swept, garnished house. Now look at the second estate of this individual. My, their life has changed. They testified of the power of God. God done this for me. I'll tell you one thing. God done that for me. But all of a sudden, maybe it was in church when that spirit come back that night. And it found them sitting there. And they sat there for 20 years. Kept hearing altar call after altar call. The preacher warned them. The evangelist warned them. Whoever more come through, warn them, warn them. They put it off, put it off, put it off. So this night, that spirit says, I think I'm going back in. Now watch it move from their second estate. And Jesus says, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits. Now watch this. Seven, actually in the Greek and the Hebrew as well, denotes a large but indefinite number. It was a favorite number with the Jews. It was used to denote completeness or perfection or a finished number. So it wasn't that he just got seven. He got enough to make this individual never come back to God. Whatever it will take to finish them and annihilate their souls, it's what he'll take back in. For some, it might be three. For some, it might be five. For some, they might need 70. For some, it might be 700. But the word Jesus uses is he will return and take back all that's needed to finish this person to their destiny. And their third estate will be their worst. Lord Jesus. Now watch in verse 21 as Peter describes these people, the same people that Jesus is describing, of course. For it had been better for them not to have known, to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, know well. It would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments. See, this is what they don't want. They don't want commandments. They don't want oracles. Do this and do that and you can't do this. And they don't want that. If you give them a promise of heaven and let them live any way they want, oh my, everybody in the world wants to be saved. Why, they all think they're going to be anyway. Don't you understand, friend, that's universalist belief? The universalist belief the devil will be saved. Don't you see that's where many of the denominational people are going to? Their pastors are standing in the pulpit and they're preaching universalism. That's why they'll argue with you that Jesus is not the only way. That if you're a Sikh or a Jain or a Buddhist or whatever more, that if you're sincere in your heart, you'll be there. I hate to disappoint you, but that is a lie. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. There's not no five different ways to heaven, 500. There's only one way. You imagine the second estate of this type of a person. They start out and they ain't hardly got nothing maybe. They go to praying and God blesses them. Husband get a little bit better job. Start making a little bit more money. Boy, they start going to church. They start fellowshipping with saints. Get rid of the old trash out of their books and clean out their music and movies and all that sort of thing. Oh my, they come to church and they sit there and they cry and they just look at one another and say, ain't that something? That's what we talked about coming to church. How that man of God know that? And there they sat and rejoiced and rejoiced. Oh my, thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. It set us free. That's their second estate. But then their third, they will be worse than before they ever got saved. Satan will see to that. Dear God, be merciful. The sin and the misery that goes with this estate will never be removed. Will they have fun? Absolutely. Will they have pleasure? They will. But in their beings, they will be transformed by demonic suppression. They will be so influenced by demons, even their closest friends will notice a change. For many of them, their countenance will change. They will change from being loving and forgiving to being murderous. It's amazing to me, a lot of the folks that are pulling away from the message, now they love all the Baptists and all the Methodists and all the Church of God, but they hate all of us. How can you have such love for everybody else and love the Pope and everybody else and hate us? Don't you understand what it is? Don't you understand what it is? The prophet of God told us that it would be this way in the last day. We preached it and talked about it for years, friends. It's here. And what are folks doing? They're giving up an estate. An estate to where they could sit in the presence of God and have their children healed. Sit there in a state and have Almighty God discern their very heart by the preaching of the Word. And tell them things they prayed about through the preaching of the Word. And they just sat there and marvel at it. And this was their estate. It's better than a horse ranch. It's better than a cattle ranch. My, you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you would give up that estate. But Brother Donnie, you're ignorant. You've never tasted a sin. You don't know what it's like to run out there and be a sinner. You're right. I don't know what it's like to be drunk. Well, I mean, I do, but I don't. I've never drunk beer, whiskey, none of that sort of thing. So you're right. I don't know anything about that. Man, you don't know what it's like to take a needle and shoot something in your arm. And boy, it feels like you're going to leave your body. You're right. I don't. I do know what it feels like when you're going to leave your body. But mine didn't come with a needle. It come with an injection, all right, the injection of eternal life. But I do know the consequences of the hundreds and thousands that I've dealt with that's drunk and had needles and committed adultery on their companion. I do know the results. Oh my, the tears that I've seen them shed and the brokenness whenever they left their estate and entered into a realm that was forbidden territory by the promise of God and then try to weep their way back into the presence of God. And just from what I've seen on that side convinces me I don't want it. I've seen folks, Brother Jack, try to deal with all that sort of thing. It's a poor advertisement to ever use on me, devil, so don't try it. I've dealt with them in their problems. I've dealt with them in their adultery. I've dealt with them in their pornography and their drinking and this and that and the other. I don't want nothing to do with it myself. Give me Jesus any day out of the week. Give me Jesus any day. Amen. You imagine then take that little family. And get an evil spirit on mom or dad one. And they start missing the estate gathering. When what our older brother died for and gave us. And every time we come to the house of God. God let an executor of the will stand up on your behalf. And read to you what's yours. And they sit here and hear it read and hear it read, not in our church, but in other churches, wherever it is around the world. Just like they sit there in Peter's day. They sit in Jude's day. They sit in Paul's day. They sit in Timothy's day. Same thing. Why, friend, spirit don't die. These demons we're dealing with tonight are the same ones they dealt with then. The same ones Michael dealt with in heaven. Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now look at what Peter is using. The two lowest animals to a Jew was a hog and a dog. Now watch, he is showing that these people came and like the old hog, they got washed. They went to water baptism. They got washed by the water of the word so far. They let go of this and let go of that. My, oh, they were so changed. But guess what? It was just a washed hog. There never was a sheep. Praise the Lord. And the old dog, and I don't want to make you sick now, but if he eats something and it makes him sick, and he'll go out and eat grass, you've seen him do it, or grab certain plants. Why? Because that's laying heavy on his stomach. He wants it out of there. So he'll eat something to vomit it up. And then that poor old crazy thing. In a little bit, you'll go back over and you see him eating that vomit. Don't you understand, Fred? That's what folks are doing. They left this vomit of the world. And they're going to go back and eat it again and say, this is so good. You got to be kidding me. If it made you sick the first time, won't it make you sick the second time? But what's amazing is many of these dogs will not vomit that same vomit up again the second time. They will be able to keep it down and digest it. Why? Their estate moved into this position. Now watch, Peter said it has happened unto them according to the true proverb that the dog has turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So the apostle compares these apostates to unregenerated people that have had an experience with God, but never went on. Lord Jesus, have mercy. You imagine, in the Hebrew language, the word sow, which is an English word, is called hoos, H-O-O-S, which means to return. So a sow is named after her characteristic, to return. She will go back to the mire. Oh, Lord, help us. Their evil nature still remained. Their unconverted soul was still in the pitch of darkness. Watch now. Let's go back to Jude, if you would, in verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Biblical grace means forgiveness and power to overcome, not permission to act immorally. Apostate's plan is to promote evil by the use of religion. And if you can cloak the evil behind religion, it makes it harder to detect to the simple. Now, a person might have a college education, have all kinds of degrees, and still be a simpleton when it comes to spiritual things. Now, how in the world could these people turn the grace of God into filth? How could you ever take grace and turn that into filth and filthy living and immorality? But this is what Jude said that they were doing. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They were doing it simply like this, friends. They were abusing the doctrine of grace. They were abusing the doctrine of grace and telling the people you're free. It's what Pentecostals called liberty in Christ. Now some of you all wasn't in Pentecost, was you? Or you never heard some of this liberty in Christ preached. Well, it just so happens I did. And it was to where you were so in Christ that the preachers could have as many girlfriends as they wanted. Oh, yeah. Live any way they wanted to do and do this and that and the other. But you're free. You're free in Christ. That is damnable heresy. I make no apology for saying it. Amen. And if you got a backbone, you'll say amen to it. Amen. Now by claiming liberty in Christ, they were interpreting this as a license to sin. So if I'm in Christ, then no matter what I do, it's no charge to me. It'd probably scare you to death if you knew how many message people believe this. So I'm in Christ. Well, I can do whatever I want to do. God don't even see it. So I can lie, I can cheat, I can steal, I can be dishonest. God don't even see it. I'm in Christ. Do you understand what you're doing? You're doing the same thing that Jude talked about 2,000 years ago. This is not a simple error. Listen to how serious this is when preachers and people turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Listen what the consequences of this is. He said, for they turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So when people tell you, you can do whatever you want to do, this is not an error. They are denying Almighty God and the work of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because it is straight from the pits of hell. But this appeals to the flesh. Oh, I'm in Christ. Praise God. I can do whatever I want to do. Yes, sir, I'm in Christ. Do you understand? You go on believing that sort of thing. God considers you to deny Him. Can't you see, friend, where the majority of Christendom is today? That's why preachers won't preach wrong against wrong. That's why they're not going to say things against wrong. Why? It gets you in too much trouble. So they just don't say nothing. We're all going to heaven. Oh, I ain't going to preach against homosexuality. No, I ain't going to preach against sin. I ain't going to preach against nothing. Oh my God, we're all going. Hallelujah. You jellyfish. Now Paul knew, even though he was the one who wrote much about grace. Can you imagine how this man must have felt, Brother Terry? When before his departure from the earth, they already started taking his epistles. And this was already being preached before he left. And they were using his quotes. Now watch, in Romans 6:1, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So they were already trying. They couldn't sort out between grace and sin. Well, okay, if that's the way it is, and I'm a Christian, and I can sin, and I can do wrong, but I'm in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, God can't see me. And you just got through telling me that God don't even see me. Make up your mind, Paul. Am I in grace or not in grace? Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So we're going to really sin bad so grace can have a big reputation. The more I do, the more grace gets to forgive me. Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But do you think that stopped them? Absolutely not. They kept right on going and said, we're free. We're free in Christ. Praise God. We don't have to keep the law. We don't have to worry about eating hog flesh no more. Ducks, web feet, this and that and the other. We can do anything we want to do. Hallelujah. We're in Christ Jesus. Perfect liberty. So perverting the doctrine of precious divine grace and making that grace as a leeway to convince the simple you can sin and God don't even care.
Think about it.
So they turned the grace of God into filth. And when they do it, they deny the Lord God. You say, why? Because they're taking his epitome of grace and slapping the Lord Jesus right in the face. So his work on the cross was not complete then. All it done was just give you something so you could sin by, not change you. No, brother, sister, we receive it right. It changes us and makes us a new creature. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How? Now, of course, we know that no doubt these people didn't come up and say, hey, I'm denying the Lord God. I'm denying the Lord Jesus. But they started with these high, polished words, baiting the hooks, appealing to the unconverted, leading captive, silly women. Mama. The doctrines which they had believed and purported was a denial of what God considered completion and grace. You know what? In my own ministry, let me say it this way. I would much rather encourage the saints, pray for the sick, say all kinds of deep things, if I was allowed to be a deep preacher, than declare a war and apostasy. You think I enjoy war? I hate war. I hate it in homes. I hate it in families. I hate it on the job. I hate it in church. I hate it in moves. I hate it. I hate war. What about you? If you love it, there's something wrong with you. I hate war. And yet I'm constantly thrown right in the middle of it. If it's left up to me, I'd be a tater peeler back in the kitchen. I've tried to go back to the kitchen a few times with a tater peeler and wind up and come back here and a five-star general kicks me real good and puts me right back out where I need to be, right in the front line. Woo! I cry all the way back out there. But I'm afraid of him. Let me close. Verse 5. Jude says, I will therefore put you in remembrance so you once knew this. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Let's read a couple more in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, going back to Egypt now, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. This is their third estate in humanity. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So some will follow their pernicious ways, and the way of truth will be evil spoken of. Let's stand. We'll pick it up again, Lord willing, in the morning, but let me read you a statement or two from Brother Branham about how serious apostasy is. Now we see what the mark of the beast is. It's the mark of apostasy. A person who just thinks, well, I belong to church. I'm as good as the next fella. You say, I belong to church. I'm Protestant. Yes, sir. I belong to this church. Yes, sir. On Sunday, you just have enough respect for it to come out of the rain and go down instead of going to a prayer meeting. You'll close up the church and sit and watch television. He goes out here and drinks and carries on and acts like that with the rest of the world. Yet he belongs to church. Remember, that's the mark of sin. Again, he says, remember, we found out without one mistake, the mark of the beast is a mark of apostasy. Lord have mercy, children. Church members hanging to their church. Instead of walking in the light, they reject light and there's nothing left but darkness. When the angels rejected light, the kingdom of Michael and light, there was one realm for them to go to, darkness. So they're held in these chains of darkness. Now they're not down in a pit. Yet, per se, being held there. For we know the scripture tells us in the book of Job, when the sons of God went to present themselves, that Satan come before the throne of God. So this was after he had already lost part of his original estate. And God said, where are you going? He said, I'm going up and down through the earth. Going over here and going over there and going over here and going over there. So it's not that he's confined to a pit. He's confined to a station, a position that he can't get out of. And what is it, Brother Jim? Darkness. It's not that he's confined to one location. Him and all of his demons, if they were there, we wouldn't have too many problems. But they're confined in a dimension under this realm of darkness. Don't you understand when folks for the final time cross that place and them spirits come back in them? Lord Jesus, can you see what happens? They enter into that realm of darkness. Many of them no longer know right from wrong. They no longer even have love for parents, love for brother, sister. Can't you see, friend, what's going on? It's a pre-anointing of the tribulation period. People would murder us if they could get by with it. They're already doing it with their tongues. They're already doing it with their words. Before it's all said and done, there'll be men of God that'll be tempted to be killed, shot at, whatever, more sure they will. Why? Because the tribulation will be so close to us before the rapture. It's not that anointing will press through the gates of hell and we'll be at the end of it. Oh, God, help us. But remember, He loved us before the world began. And though Lucifer was at His right hand, he was not in His heart. Hallelujah. For He loved us before the foundation of the world. Lord Jesus. I believe with all of my heart tonight I've got the seal of God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when I look at these things, it makes me shudder. Brother Donnie, don't you think you're saved? No, I believe I am. But it just makes me look at it and say, Lord God, hide me, Jesus. Don't hide me behind quotes. Don't hide me behind this church. Hide me in Christ, behind the blood. Not my experiences of healing the sick and casting out devils and all that sort of thing. No. Let me feel that way tonight. If you're not there, children, won't you just open your heart? Don't get rid of your cigarettes and get rid of your drinking and get rid of your music and all that stuff and leave the house empty. Let the King come in. Let the King come in. I believe with all my heart we're at this time where spirits are returning back to their houses. They were gone out of sun for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and they're entering back in. This is why folks are changing so rapidly and becoming dangerous. The prophet tells us in Recognize Your Day and His Message, they will become hostile towards the message. The same way it was in the days of the Lord Jesus. They were hostile. Their spirit turned. Their humanity turned. Don't you see why? Those priests moved into their last estate of humanity. Total darkness shrouded them. There was the very God made flesh. And they said, you're a devil. You're a Beelzebub. If they called him that, what are they going to call us? Let's pray together. I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to pray for me. Heavenly Father, as we stand here tonight, Lord, these are serious things, Lord. Dear Jesus, I pray you'd begin with me, Lord. Search my heart. If there's anything in me, Lord, that displeases you, take it out, dear God. Lord, if I've said anything wrong or done anything wrong, forgive me, Lord Jesus. I bow before you in the presence of these people. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to be true. Help me to be sincere. Help me to be what you want me to be, Lord. I don't want that third estate in my life, Lord God. I remember that first estate as a little boy being lost and feeling something pull on me. Though I never did get out and do a lot of things, I still lost. I was born that way. But Lord Jesus, I've been in this estate as a Christian for many, many years now. If I live, Lord, this year it'll be 58. So 46 years. I've been in this estate. I've come through many stages. You're starting out and you're revealing more of your light. But Lord God, I love it so well. I don't want to leave it. I don't want that third estate, Lord, to where mortals can go to. I want my third estate to be that new body. Help me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, of any wrongdoings.
Forgive me of any shortcomings, Lord. Help me that I'll never compromise on your word. I'll stand for it if it costs me my life, Lord. Dear Jesus, may you move among this people tonight. Lord, those that be streaming the service, may you help them. Lord, I know we got many critics that go on the web and they go to our website and they're trying to pick this and pick that. But I pray you'd bring them under conviction. There might be some seed there, Lord. For those who've said all kinds of things about us and lies, well, first of all, I want to say I count it an honor to be identified with you, Lord. I count it an honor that Satan hates us so much that we're identified as believers and followers of the message of this hour. I'm glad hell recognizes me as being a part of this end time message. That's the greatest honor. If the devil handed out honors, it's the greatest he could give to me, to be identified with this truth. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, Lord. If there's any here in this place tonight, Lord, the house is swept. It's clean. It's garnished. But it's empty. Lord, please help them. Help them to realize the sealing time is on. The mark of apostasy is moving. And the seal of God as well. Grant it, dear Jesus. We just open our hearts to you tonight, Lord. For those of us that have received the Holy Ghost, probably many of them feel like me, Lord. I just need a refilling of it tonight, Lord. More your love, your power, your strength, your wisdom. Help us, Lord. We've never been this way before. Give us your wisdom, dear God. Give us your strength, I pray. Teach us to fight. Teach us, Lord, when to speak, when to listen. Help us, I pray, Lord God. You spoke to us a couple of weeks ago and told us more trouble was going to come. But to be honest with you, sir, I didn't know it was going to come so quick. Oh, but Lord, we love you tonight, Father. We're just so glad to be your children. Hallelujah. Keep us, Lord Jesus. Keep us in this evil day. I love this estate. I love it, Lord. I get to walk out in my estate spiritually and survey my boundaries, my perimeters as a child of God. My grace has been given to me, the mercy and all that you've done for me. I love my state in Christ. This is my land. I love it, Lord. Help me, dear God, that I'll keep it. Help me, dear God, I'll keep it. I don't want to be like Adam, that I get to stand on for a while and get kicked out because of disobedience. But I want to keep my state, Lord. You feel that way tonight, church? Let the Lord just search your heart. Let him just walk down the avenues of your soul, as it were. See if you got any hatred, any jealousy, any strife, anything in there that displeases him. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Search us tonight, oh God. Turn the light on me tonight, Lord. Search our hearts, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, help me that I never turn your grace into lasciviousness. God, help us preachers, Lord. We have so much to answer for that we have the ability to smother them over with grace, and we turn grace into some filthy something that convinces them they can live any way they want to. And yet they're bribed, they're ordained, or this, that, and the other. Help us to realize, Lord, there is a life that comes with being a child of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Would you take and lay your hand on the person standing by you? Let me tell you something, friends. As the pastor, I know there's so many things going on. Sickness, family trouble, all kinds of issues as a body that you're dealing with. I love you with all my heart. I feel so sorry for you sometimes, some of the different things I know you're dealing with. May God give you strength. Pray for one another. Pray for one another with sincerity in your heart. Oh, Jesus.
In the morning, Jesus, when I rise.
Lord, may your presence move among your children, Father.
In the morning,
we're far from a perfect people. We make our mistakes, Lord.
In the morning,
help us that we'll be willing to admit them when we do, Father. Help us, Lord, not to abuse grace. Help us not to make it some filthy something, Lord God.
Give me Jesus.
Yes. Give me Jesus.
Oh,
give me Jesus.
You can have.
Thank you, Lord.
All this world.
Yes, Lord.
Give me Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
And when I am alone, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. This world, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, and when I come to die,
oh, hallelujah.
Just give me Jesus.
Anybody else in the need of prayer? Name,
give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Oh,
you can have all this world.
All this world.
Give me Jesus.
Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Give
Let
me
keep
Jesus.
My faith. Let me keep my grace. My mercy.
Give me Jesus. You can have all this
world.
You can have all of this world. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me
yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship Him, saints.
Take this whole
take all world, this world,
but give me Jesus.
Oh, I gotta have Jesus.
You can take
this whole world. Thank you,
but
Father.
Give me Jesus, I won't turn back.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I won't turn back.
Hallelujah, 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 Lord.
I have decided.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm gonna follow Jesus.
Gonna follow Jesus. What about a church? We're gonna follow with all of our hearts.
I have decided.
Lord Jesus.
The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Let's sing it to Him tonight now. Oh, you can take this over, but give.
Before. for me, this world behind me, the cross before me, this world behind me, the cross
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Amen, amen. Amen, Lord Jesus.
I surrender to the King.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Let the worshipers arise.
Oh,
let the sons and daughters sing. I'm surrendering. Surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem, oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song, a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. After his sons and daughters see. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Hallelujah. Oh, let the worshipers rise. Let the sons and the daughters see. Thank you, Lord. Love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
It was good in the fiery furnace. It was good in the fiery furnace. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.